This is Audible.
Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Girl in the Moon by Terry Goodkind. Read by Elizabeth Rogers. 1. When Angela glanced up and saw him out in the parking lot, beyond the neon beer sign hung in the bar's small front window, her first thought was to wonder if this was the night she was going to die. The unexpected storm of emotion drove other thoughts from her mind. She wondered if this might be why she had just that morning changed the color of her hair from a bright violet to platinum blonde that, down the length, gradually changed to pale pink, that became darker until it was a vivid red at the tips, as if her hair had been dipped in blood. Signs sometimes came to her in such subtle ways. Under the lone streetlight, she could see that the man was wearing a hooded camo rain slicker. He paused, momentarily, to glance around in the drizzly darkness. The rain slicker gave him a hulking appearance. His gaze went from the bar's sign, Barry's Place, to the neon beer sign, and then to the door. She suspected he wanted a drink, in the hopes of keeping a high from fading as the distance of days dulled the rapture. They sometimes did that. His indecision was brief. When he came through the doorway, his dark shape made it seem as if he were dragging the night in with him. Seeing him standing in the dim light inside, as he paused to glance around at the patrons, Angela felt a sickening mix of hot revulsion and icy fear, laced with a heady rush of lust. She let the feeling wash over her, euphoric that she could feel something, even this. It had been too long since she had felt anything. Her hand with the towel slowed to a stop at drying a glass as she waited to see how long it would take him to notice her. Her fear, hoping he didn't. Her inner need, hoping he did. That dark, awakening desire won out. Out of the corner of her eye, she watched as he started toward the bar. Slowly rotating flecks of colored light from the ceiling fixture played over his camouflaged form, almost making him look like part of the room. Behind him, out beyond the window, the headlights of a passing car illuminated the murky drizzle. Fog was moving in. It was going to be a nasty night to be out in the mountains. Other than a couple of older local men down at the end of the bar arguing baseball, and four Mexicans she had never seen before at a table near the front, chattering in Spanish over their beers, the bar was empty. Barry, the bar's owner, was in back checking stock and paperwork. The man pushed his hood back as his gaze took in her platinum blonde hair tipped in red, her black fingernail polish, the row of rings piercing the back of her right ear, the glitter on her dark eyeshadow, and her bare midriff. As he hoisted himself up on a stool, his gaze played over her low-rise cut-off shorts and down the length of her long legs to the laced brown suede boots that came up almost to her knees. Barry, the owner, liked her to wear cut-off shorts because it brought in men and kept them longer to buy more drinks. It made her better tips as well. When she'd cut the legs as short as possible, she left the pockets so she would have a place to put her tips. They hung down below the frayed bottoms of the legs. But, with the late hour, there weren't many customers left, or tips to be had. And then, for a fleeting second when he lifted his face and looked up into her eyes, she stopped breathing. In that instant, looking into his dark, wide-set eyes, she saw everything. Every horrific detail. The flood of it all was momentarily overwhelming. She thought her knees might buckle. Angela finally leaned in on the bar to steady herself and so that she could be heard over the pounding beat of the rock music. "What can I get you?"
"A beer,"
he called back over the music. He was youngish, although older than her. Maybe in his late 20s, with shaggy hair and scraggly stubble on his doughy face. She noted that he looked strong. When he took off his dripping wet slicker and tossed it over the next stool, she saw that she had underestimated how powerfully he was built. Not bodybuilder strong, but sloppy, stocky strong, the kind of man who didn't know his own strength until it was too late. To others, his features might appear ordinary, but Angela now knew for certain that this man was anything but ordinary. After she drew the beer, she set it on the bar in front of him. She licked foam that had run over the glass off the back of her hand and then from her red lipstick as she glanced past him to the clock on the wood-paneled wall to the right. It was less than an hour to closing. Not much time. She pulled a bowl of corn chips from under the counter and set it beside his beer.
"Thanks,"
he said as he took a chip. She turned back to drying glasses, but not so far as to let him think she was spurning his obvious interest in her. "If you want more, just ask," she said, without looking at him, giving him the opportunity to stare down the length of her body. He took a long drink along with the long look, and then made a satisfied sound.
"That hits the spot."
"You live in the area?" she asked, looking back over her shoulder.
"Not really."
She turned toward him. "What does that mean?" He shrugged.
"I've been staying just up the road at the Riley Motel."
He deliberately glanced down at her legs.
"But I may stay for a while longer. Find some work."
The Riley Motel wasn't the kind of place tourists visiting the upper reaches of the Appalachian Mountains or the Finger Lakes region would likely stay. The Riley was used mostly by the hour by prostitutes and by the week by transients.
"Oh yeah? What kind of work? What do you do?"
He shrugged.
"Whatever needs doing that pays the bills."
Angela poured a shot and set it down in front of him. "On me. For a first-time new customer who may be staying for a while." He made an appreciative face and tossed back the shot. As he plunked the shot glass down on the bar, his gaze again drifted down the length of her.
"Kind of a dumpy place for a girl like you."
"It pays the bills."
She had to deliberately slow her breathing.
"What's your name?"
He held her gaze as he took another corn chip.
"Owen."
She had trouble looking away from his eyes and all that they told her.
"And yours?"
"Angela. My grandparents were Italian. Angela means angel in Italian."
With a flick of her head, she tossed a disorderly shock of red-tipped hair back over her shoulder.
"My mother named me Angela because when she was pregnant with me, my grandmother said that God was sending her a little angel."
Angela's grandfather told her once that the meaning of the name Angel was messenger from God, and that while the messenger had come, Angela's mother clearly hadn't gotten the message. Owen's gaze moved from her eyes to the tattoo across her throat.
"Is that some kind of joke?"
Angela flashed him a cryptic smile.
"Maybe sometime you'll have the opportunity to answer that question yourself."
His expression darkened.
"You fucking with me?"
She leaned in on an elbow so no one else would hear over the music and looked at him from under her brow.
"Believe me, Owen, if I ever start fucking with you, you'll know it."
He didn't quite know what to make of her answer, so he drank the rest of the beer. It was obvious that he was more interested in leering at her legs than trying to figure out what she'd meant. Rather than wait for him to order another as he set down the empty glass, she set a fresh beer in front of him. She took the empty away and put it in the bar sink.
"Attentive little thing, aren't you?"
She put on a flirty smile.
"Someone needs to take care of a man like you," she said as she poured another shot and dropped it in the beer.
He returned a grin and drank it all down, almost as if showing off.
"Maybe,"
he said as he set the glass down and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
"You could take even better care of me. What do you say?"
Her smile turned empty.
"Sorry. You're not my type."
"What the fuck does that mean?"
She placed both hands wide on the edge of the bar as she leaned in and spoke intimately.
I like dangerous guys who take what they want and don't take no for an answer. Know what I mean?
He frowned.
No. What do you mean?
She paused for only an instant to invent a story.
I started going with my last boyfriend after he killed a guy.
Killed a guy? Straight up killed him?
Well, she drawled, not like murdered him for the rush of doing it. I don't think he had the balls for that. He killed the guy in a fight.
She gestured to the door.
Some drunk jumped him out in the parking lot when he left here. He broke the guy's neck.
She winked as her smile returned.
Turned me on no end. Know what I mean?
Sounds like a badass.
He was. She shrugged as she pulled back. That's my kind of man. You don't have what it takes.
He weighed her words as he studied her face. Her wild shock of red-tipped hair, the tattoo across her throat, the piercings.
I have my rough side.
Angela huffed a laugh to dismiss his claim, before turning to reach in and replace the whiskey bottle on a shelf in front of the smoked mirror on the back wall. In the mirror, she could see him looking at her ass. She knew what he was thinking. In a million years, he would never be able to guess what she was thinking. 2. As Angela crossed the room with a tray of beers for the table of Hispanic men, the two older men passed her on their way out. They cast disapproving glances her way as they went by. Despite their silent scorn, they usually came in on the night she worked and sat down at the end of the bar, nursing a beer or two as they talked sports and stared at her cut-off shorts over the tops of their beers. They may have considered her dress and decorum improper for a young woman, but they couldn't help being drawn by her raw femininity. She noted the irony, but it didn't really matter to her. Nothing much mattered to Angela. Except men like Owen. The four Hispanics had all fallen silent as she approached, not that she could have understood a word of what they were saying anyway. Spanish wasn't all that common around Milford Falls. It struck her that they didn't want to be overheard, even if they didn't think she could speak their language. By their furtive glances and whispers, it was clear that for some reason they didn't approve of her any more than the two older men did. It was a different kind of disapproval, though. Somehow more visceral, more vicious. But she couldn't quite put her finger on it. Even so, it didn't matter to her any more than the scorn of the two older men. There was something about all their eyes that bothered her. They weren't like Owen's eyes, but still, she knew that she didn't like what she saw. But she couldn't concern herself with it. She had something else on the front burner. "This is going to have to be your last round," she told them as she set down the beers. "It's closing time." She could just read part of a receipt sticking up from the shirt pocket of one of the men. It was for the Riley Motel. She wondered which kind of guest they were, the by-the-hour kind or by-the-week. One of the men closest to her, the one who'd spoken for them whenever they'd ordered drinks, had dozens of moles all over his face. Some were large black lumps, while many more were as tiny as grains of sand. The largest number were clustered around his dark eyes. They made it hard for her not to stare at him. As she set a beer down in front of each man, Moleface smiled up at her. It wasn't a friendly or even polite smile. It was a creepy, confrontational smile. As she reached out with her free hand to take the $10 and $5 bills he was offering her, he ran his other hand all the way up the back of her thigh. Before he could grab her ass, Angela stepped back, breaking the contact. At the same time, she snatched the two bills from between his extended first two fingers. All four men laughed uproariously, as if it had been the punchline to an inside joke. She could only imagine what they must have been saying. Moleface grinned.
Keep the change.
Thanks, she said. Now I can finally buy that bar of soap I've been wanting and wash my leg. Three of the four men laughed. Moleface didn't. She noted that they understood English well enough. She also noted that up to that point they had acted as if they didn't. She couldn't imagine what difference it made, except that maybe it allowed them to play ignorant and eavesdrop. Angela was rarely rude to customers, even the ones who occasionally got lewd or grabby, but there was something about the looks of these four men that she didn't like. Moleface said something in Spanish, and they all laughed again.
Problem?
Barry called from behind the bar. I was just telling them it was their last round for the night, Angela said on her way back.
How about you?
Barry said as he gestured to Owen.
Last call. You want another?
Owen lifted a hand to turn down the offer. Apparently he was not as eager to take a beer from Barry as he had been to take the drinks Angela had offered. He slid off the stool, unsteady on his feet, his fist pulling his camo slicker off the seat next to him. As he turned to leave, Owen smiled at Angela. She could read the message in that big grin and deliberately didn't return it. She briefly glanced at his eyes before openly ignoring him. She walked around the bar, put the tray away, then put the 10 and 5 in the register. She didn't take her tip from the two bills. She didn't want any money from those four. Owen paused in the doorway to look back. She could feel his eyes on her, but she didn't turn to look at him. She already knew what was in those eyes. She wanted him to get the impression she had dismissed him and had no further interest in or use for him, that he had been no more than a customer, a source of a tip. She knew that the simple rebuff of indifference would be enough to take him from a simmer to a low boil. He finally turned and went out the door. After the other four men left, Barry turned off the music and the rotating light, breaking the spell, leaving the barroom simply old and rather decrepit, smelling of spilled beer, sweat, cigarette butts, and the urine on the floor of the men's room. The quiet, at least, was a relief. Angela dumped out the ashtrays and washed them along with the glasses in the bar sink, while Barry counted the money from the till. After wiping down the bar, she did a quick job of sweeping the floor.
"Been pretty slow this week," Barry told her as he handed her some folded bills. "Sorry it isn't more, Angela. I know you could use the money to help your mother and all."
"I know. Not your fault." No one and nothing could help her mother. Nothing ever could. As far as the money, she usually made good money at the bar, so she couldn't complain about an occasional slow week.
The other girls already blocked in on the schedule are enough to handle the place for the rest of this week.
Sure, she said. I understand. He hesitated, thinking of how to fill the silence, before he pushed the register closed.
Why don't you come in next Friday and see if we can use you, okay? Hopefully things will pick up soon and then we'll get you back to your usual hours.
Angela didn't count the money he'd handed her. She knew that with as few hours as Barry had her working, it wouldn't be much. She nodded as she stuffed the bills in the front right pocket of her shorts along with her tips. They didn't amount to much either, and she'd paid for the drinks she gave Owen out of them. They were usually respectable, but with business being slow, her tips had slowed down as well. On her way to the door, Barry called her name. She turned back.
Be sure to wear some of those shorts next time you come back into work. I think they were the only thing that kept that last guy buying drinks. They may have been the only thing that kept me in the black tonight.
And kept Owen from slipping away. Angela smiled back.
Sure thing, Barry. Can do.
3. In the late hour, the rain and drizzle had trailed off, leaving behind a potent quality to the air, saturated with the sharp smell of rain, pine trees, and dirt. It was a primal aroma, the scent worn by Mother Earth herself, absent mankind's touch. The elemental fragrance was a refreshing contrast to the unsavory collection of man-made smells in the bar. With the rain ended, fog had crept into the valley to nap for the night. It was the thick, intimate kind of fog, the kind that reminded Angela of the feeling she got when someone stood too close, invading her personal space. She wished she could push it back away from her. The oppressive quality of it served to put her nerves further on edge. Although she could smell the pines and balsam firs, the trees across the road were invisible beyond the soft gray wall of fog. She could barely see the silent road. This time of night, there were few, if any, cars. Anyone out this late would be up in town either carousing, working night shifts, or going home from partying. Her pickup stood all alone in the parking lot, like a phantom in the mist. Barry's car was always parked around in back. Owen was standing beside her truck. She had known he would be there. In gray primer, the older, regular cab Chevy pickup didn't look like much, but looks were deceiving. The lowered truck had an LS3 crate engine, Wilwood brakes, and a lot of suspension mods. A tattoo artist she knew had all the work done by a reputable shop. His intention had been to paint it something wild to advertise his tattoo shop, but he lost interest in it when he fell for a panel truck that he thought would better serve his purpose. After doing the tattoo across her throat, he sold the pickup to Angela for a good price because, as he'd said, she was the only one he knew who was badass enough to drive such a bitchin' truck. He offered to have the truck painted for her, but Angela wanted to keep it in primer gray. She liked the lack of color. The flat gray matched her feelings about life. Dyeing her hair vivid colors along with her piercings and tattoos was her way of concealing her colorless existence within. It was rare for her emotions to flash to life, to rise up from those inner dark depths. But, unexpectedly, they had this night. This was one of those exceptional times when everything sizzled with meaning. Every sound was sharper, every sight more vivid, every nuance more significant, every word laced with danger. This was a night when life itself hung in the balance. Owen unfolded his arms and with a knuckle wrapped the square magnetic sign stuck on the truck's gray primer door.
Angela's messenger service. Give your package wings. I figure this had to be you.
Good guess, genius. Even as she kept her voice from sounding interested, her nerves felt electric. Everything around her seemed to crackle. She stared into his dark eyes, letting the wickedness she saw there wash over her. It had been too long.
What's with the messenger service?
Since her name meant messenger from God, Angela thought it appropriate that her courier service be called Angela's messenger service. She liked the play on words.
There's not a lot of work around here. I like being a courier, and it fills in the dead spots when I'm not tending bar.
So, you're a drug dealer, he said with a knowing smirk.
Angela's brow drew down.
That's about the last thing in the world I'd ever do.
He dismissed her denial with a shrug of one shoulder.
If you say so.
I do, she said. He stepped aside for her to unlock the door, swaying on his feet a little. Good night, Owen.
Okay, fine. So you don't deal drugs. That narrows it down. Escort service? Suck some cock to fill in the dead spots when you're not earning a buck tending bar?
She shot him a dark look. I said, good night.
I was thinking that you could give me a lift.
He shrugged again, but this time he added a stupid grin.
It was easier walking down the hill than it will be walking back up.
The walk will do you good. He wasn't about to be discouraged.
Think of me as a package to deliver. Besides, I've seen the kind of girls up at the motel. I bet you've spent enough time on your back in the rooms up there.
She let it go without taking the bait. His smile wasn't sincere. It was a calculating provocation. She could see the contempt in his eyes. Women were all the same to Owen. They were all whores, and that was all they were good for. She didn't know what had brought him to that attitude in life, and she didn't really care. All that mattered to her was that his hardened convictions governed his thoughts, and those thoughts resulted in deeds.
"Come on. Give me a ride."
Angela straightened after unlocking the door. "I said no." She knew quite well, by what flashed in his eyes, that Owen didn't like the word no. Not one bit. He abruptly grabbed her by her upper arm, spun her around, slammed her up against the truck, and gritted his teeth.
"Said I'd like a ride."
There he was. There, at last, was the real Owen showing himself. His breath stank of corn chips soaked in alcohol. His powerful fingers felt like they might crush the bone in her arm. With the heel of a hand to his chest, she shoved him back. "I told you, I don't date normal guys." He slammed her up against the truck again and forced a hard kiss against her mouth. She noted his preference. She let him have his way for a moment, lest he get more violent right then and there, before she had found out what she wanted to know.
"I'm a lot more than you think," he said breathlessly as he pulled back. "I'm the kind of guy you get all wet for."
"Bullshit." Angela watched his face as he considered yet another snub. The alcohol was confusing his thinking, but it was also loosening his inhibitions, and, as a result, she knew, it would loosen his tongue.
"It's true," he argued. "I'm not some average guy like you think."
"Don't flatter yourself, Owen. I don't think you're average. I think you're a pussy." Anger flashed in his bloodshot eyes. His brow drew tight. He swayed on his feet a little as he glared at her, considering. He finally broke the gaze to glance around to see if they were alone.
"Give me a ride, and I'll tell you about it."
She appraised his dark eyes for a moment, enduring what she saw in them, letting it wash through her like gasoline sloshing over glowing embers. She had a gun, but it was in the compartment under the center armrest of her truck. Finally, Angela let out a heavy breath. "All right, Owen. I suppose I can at least give you a ride. It's not like you're dangerous or anything. It would be kind of exciting if you were, but you aren't." His expression briefly turned murderous before he went around to wait on the passenger side for her to get in, reach across, and unlock the door. Finally, granted entrance, he quickly climbed up into the truck. Once settled in the driver's seat, Angela twisted the key and the engine rumbled to life. The windows glittered with trembling droplets of water. She turned on the wipers to clear the windshield.
"All you're getting out of me is a ride."
She looked over at him.
"Got it?"
"Sure," he said, grinning with a world of dark intent.
"That's all I'm after. Nothing else."
Angela didn't believe a word of it. 4. Every once in a while, on the half-mile ride up the winding road, a streetlight appeared out of the fog, looking like a hovering alien spacecraft. The dark, featureless mass of woods glided by to either side. The yellow center line and the stripe along the edge of the road seemed like the only things grounded in the real world. As they drove by ever more houses at the edge of Milford Falls proper, Owen rested an elbow on the armrest. Her gun was under the lid of that armrest. With him leaning on it, she knew she would never be able to get to it. When the neon sign for the Riley Motel began to materialize out of the fog, his left hand reached down to gently clasp her bare right knee. As she turned into the motel's parking lot, the hand slid up the inside of her thigh to her crotch. When she put the truck in park, he twisted toward her and shoved his big right hand down inside the top of her low-rise shorts. Before he could worm his fingers into her, and without making a fuss about it, she simply put her wrist under his and levered his hand back out, as if to say she considered him nothing more than a harmless oaf.
"You feel nice down there," he said,
speaking from a daze of desire.
"I like a natural pussy, not shaved bald like whores do today. I like the way you left a patch of hair."
"Glad you approve," she said in an icy tone. "We're here. Get out."
"Why don't you come on in and we can finish what we started?"
She knew he was speaking from within the fantasy he had already begun to construct. "We didn't start anything. Like I said, you're not my type. Ordinary guys are a turnoff."
"Come on."
"No." He sat back, the stern finality of the word yanking him out of his trance. He blinked.
"I'm no ordinary guy," he said,
rather defiantly. "Bullshit. You're halfway decent-looking, but I already told you I'm into bad boys, and you aren't."
"You don't know that."
"I know that you haven't got what it takes to be the kind of guy I go for. You're a gutless nobody, a poser, trying to talk yourself up and playing the part of a badass to impress me. I've met 100 guys like you. You're all the same. You're ordinary, like them." His eyes flashed with anger.
"I'm not ordinary. I've killed people."
Deliberately showing no reaction, Angela looked over at him for a long moment. She rolled her eyes as she shook her head in disgust. "You haven't got the balls to kill anyone. You'd wet your pants if you tried to grab someone and they told you to fuck off."
"I'm not kidding."
He lowered his voice as he leaned in.
"I've killed people,"
he said again. "Yeah, right. You've killed people. Good for you." By her tone, she let him know that she didn't believe him, even though she knew it was true. "Now get out."
"Did you hear about that whore who disappeared? Carrie something?"
Angela knew who he was talking about. Carrie Stratton was no whore. She was a nurse who worked at the hospital. The hospital usually used overnight delivery services, but if it was after the cutoff time for a pickup and there was urgent need, the hospital sometimes used a courier service, and Angela's courier service was usually their choice to rush specimens to one of several labs in bigger cities. On rare occasions, they had even sent her to specialty labs in Buffalo, Newark, or New York City. It wasn't a big hospital, so she knew a number of the people who worked there. She'd briefly met Carrie Stratton a couple of times. Carrie had a son and daughter not yet in their teens. Her husband worked for the power company. Carrie had taken the night shift to earn extra money for her family. Everyone liked her. Angela had picked up a specimen a few days back, and Carrie had been the one who checked it out. It had been late at night, and they told her it was critical that she get it to a special lab for testing first thing in the morning. When she was pulled over by a state trooper on I-86, she showed him the package from the hospital marked urgent and got out of a speeding ticket with a stern warning. Angela didn't heed the warning, but she did get the sample to the lab on time. That was the night before Carrie had vanished. Everyone at the hospital was upset over the disappearance of the young nurse. They knew that she wasn't the sort to run off or something. Her car was still in the parking lot. Everyone feared she had been abducted. Even though lots of people were looking for her, hoping to find her safe and sound, everyone was grimly aware that the search might not end happily. Right up until the moment Owen had walked into the bar a couple of hours earlier and she'd looked into his eyes, Angela hadn't known either what had happened to Carrie Stratton. "I think I heard something about a woman people were looking for," Angela said. "What about her?" Owen leaned in a little, lowering his voice.
"I killed her."
"Knock it off, Owen," she said as she scanned the wet cars in the dark lot. "People say she ran away with a new lover."
"I was her new lover," he said,
snorting a laugh.
"But she didn't run away. I fucked the bitch. Fucked her good and hard. She told me that she could identify me and that I was going to go to prison. For what? Fucking a whore? So I killed her.
Angela let out an impatient sigh. You're a goddamn liar, Owen. Trying to play like you're a badass. Owen cocked his head to the side.
If I was telling you the truth?
Angela appraised him in the reddish light from the motel sign. If you really had the balls.
But I don't believe I can prove it.
Angela rolled her eyes. Yeah, right.
No, really, I can fucking prove it.
How?
I can show you where I put her body.
You could show me her body? Angela ran a black fingernail down his arm as she let her lips spread in a smile. I've never been with a man who killed someone. Well, other than that guy who killed a man in a bar fight, but that was more of an accident than anything. It wasn't deliberate. It would take some kind of man to set out to do something like that.
Did you ever watch someone die?
He asked, as he stared into the memory.
Watch the life go out of them?
He looked back at Angela.
An ordinary guy wouldn't have the nerve. They couldn't do it.
She knew he was driven to dominate women, to hurt them. He liked to watch them die. It aroused him sexually. That lust was growing ever stronger, and there was less time between his kills. It wouldn't be long before he was aching to kill again. Just recalling it was making him ache to kill again. Maybe I had you wrong.
Come on up to my room.
Come up to your room? She withdrew her hand. Okay, I get it. You heard about the disappearance on the news, and now you're trying to take credit. You think it will get you laid if you say you're the guy who killed her. Nice try, asshole. I gave you the ride you wanted, now get the fuck out.
No. Really. I wasted the bitch. I killed her and dumped her body.
Owen waved a hand in a northerly direction.
Up that way. Up the road that way.
Angela knew that the police and a lot of volunteers were conducting an extensive search of the area around Milford Falls. They hadn't found anything yet. The first instant she had looked into his eyes when he'd come into the bar, Angela had known exactly what Owen had done. Carrie hadn't told him that she could identify him and he was going to go to jail. That was just his excuse to justify killing her. In her mind's eye, Angela saw Carrie begging, promising not to say anything if he let her go. She told him that she had two children who needed her. She had cried and begged for her life. She had shown him their photos in a locket. Carrie couldn't know what Angela knew, that begging for her life only amped Owen up. That was when he felt the most powerful. It got him hard. Angela had seen all of that. But because it had been so dark and foggy, she hadn't been quite able to discern in her vision the location of where he'd dumped the body. She tapped the side of her thumb on the steering wheel. How far up that way?
Fuck, I don't know,
Owen said, getting a little surly that she wouldn't simply take his word for it.
Far enough that they won't likely find her for a long time, if ever.
How far is that?
From here? From the motel?
He stared off into the fog.
31 miles, he finally said.
He knew exactly how far it was to where he'd left Carrie's body when he had finished with her. Killers could usually return to the exact spot without any difficulty. Sometimes they visited the corpse to help them relive the excitement of the kill. Sometimes they were curious if anyone had found the body, so they would keep it under surveillance. On occasion, they would even volunteer to be part of the search party. With a tilt of her head, Angela gestured toward the motel sign. Lots of people passing through stay at the Riley Motel. The police would question those kinds of people. How come the police didn't question you?
They did.
His smile turned sly.
I stayed around long enough to make sure they did.
You wanted them to question you?
If you really did kill her and the police questioned you, they would figure out that you did it. He leaned back and gestured his superiority with a flick of a hand.
Cops are stupid. They don't have a fucking clue. Especially with someone who knows what they're doing. They don't got a witness or a body. They don't got shit. I wanted to stick around and see the looks on their faces. They always get this serious look when they're searching for a killer, but they don't know they're looking right at him. Know what I mean? I'm right there in front of them, and it's like they're fucking blind. Kind of like you were until I told you. You looked right at me, just like the police did, and you didn't believe I could be a guy who could kill someone.
For Owen, the game with the police was part of the thrill. Killing was the rush, but it faded. He thought he was smarter than the police. Playing games with authorities was his way of keeping the excitement going. That, and drinking. Yeah, Angela agreed. I guess it's not like they could tell that you've killed people just by looking in your eyes.
But Angela could. From that first glance, it had been instantaneous knowledge, almost as if she were sharing, experiencing his detailed memory of everything he had done to Carrie. In fact, in that same instant she had seen all four women he had killed. She knew the details of what he'd done to each of them. When she had been young, Angela had sometimes been overcome with agonizing pain in her legs. Her grandmother told her it was caused by her bones growing so fast. Looking into a killer's eyes brought her that same kind of pain. It made her bones ache. She knew that other people couldn't do what she could do, couldn't recognize a killer by looking in his eyes. She knew she was different from other people. She believed that her mother's chronic drug use when she had been pregnant with Angela had been the cause. That constant soup of drugs swirling around inside her mother's womb as Angela's fetus was developing had resulted in her being a freak of nature. Her grandmother said that Angela was lucky all those drugs her mother took hadn't left Angela retarded or blind or crippled. She said once that Angela was lucky to have been born alive. Angela didn't feel lucky. She knew that she wasn't normal and never could be. Angela knew that she had been born broken. She knew that her desires, the things that drove her, the things that made her feel alive, were not normal. And now those things that drove her had her focused in on Owen like a laser. Easy enough to brag, to take credit, to say you fooled the police, she said. That doesn't mean you really did it. Lots of losers confess to crimes they didn't do. Maybe the cops believed you're innocent because you are.
They believed me because I'm smarter than they are, he snapped. They can't catch me.
Maybe. She knew she had to push him that last inch. Like I said, it's easy enough to make up the story. Nowhere near as easy to be a man who could actually do it. He looked over at her out of the corner of his eye.
I can show you where I left her body.
She stared at him for a moment. 31 miles. You said it was 31 miles?
That's right.
Owen gestured out into the darkness.
That way. 31 miles. Come on. I'll show you. Then you'll know I'm telling the truth.
He was beginning to enjoy taking her into his confidence. Unlike other women, she wasn't repulsed or horrified, but actually interested. With a sly smile, he revealed more.
She wasn't my first, either.
You mean to say you've killed people before?
2 others.
When he looked over at her, she could see how bloodshot his eyes were.
She was the third.
No. Carrie was the fourth. In his drunken haze, he was forgetting the skinny prostitute he had strangled to death in a flophouse in Pennsylvania. She'd been a heroin addict who had been killing herself for a long time, not unlike Angela's mother. Owen had simply finished the job for her. But this was not the time to refresh his memory.
I've never been with a guy who actually killed someone. Not deliberately, anyway.
That's fucking hot. At least, it is if you're telling me the truth.
Angela put the truck in gear and drove out of the lot.
You better not be bullshitting me.
You'll see,
he said, with smug confidence. 5. Owen directed her onto a little used, narrow, winding secondary road. The long backwoods loop off the main roads, called Duffy Road, went to a scattering of houses and camps. At first, not too far out of Milford Falls, there were a number of squat, ramshackle houses close to the road. Some of them had patches of black tar paper nailed to dingy white siding. More than one had a caved-in roof. A few of those had blue tarps over them to try to hold out the elements, but over time, those too had shredded. Derelict vehicles, along with old appliances, discarded lawnmowers, storm windows, bicycles, rusted barbecues, and broken lawn furniture lay scattered around some of the properties. It all sat silently rusting or rotting away among the weeds and overgrown brush. A few old houses had such a large variety of discarded scrap that the yards looked more like junkyards than homes. Other properties had outbuildings with old tractors and ancient trucks up on blocks. Some of the places had rutted roads leading back to barns and fields behind houses. More than one place had several no trespassing signs nailed to trees and fences. Dim porch lights at a few of the houses gave off an eerie glow in the fog, but most of the places were long abandoned and dark. There used to be a textile mill and a variety of other manufacturing plants in Milford Falls that employed a lot of people, but one by one they shut down, leaving no work, so a lot of people moved out. Milford Falls was not an easy place to make a living, so many residents had simply picked up and moved on. Past the houses, there was nothing to interrupt the forest. In places, pine trees crowded right up to the edge of the asphalt road. Some of the switchbacks were barely more than a car width wide as the road made its way through the mountainous countryside. The fog, along with the wet, black asphalt and lack of lane markings, made it hard for Angela to see where she was going. It made the drive nerve-wracking, to say nothing of sitting beside a man who had raped and killed women because he got off on it. The county apparently didn't do much to maintain the road other than lop off any errant limb if it hung down in the way. The road was potholed and crumbling in places. Layers of leaves and pine needles had long accumulated along the sides, obscuring the edge of the pavement. With so many people moved out and leaving abandoned places behind, it felt like the forest was gradually moving in to reclaim the land. Owen had turned moody as they drove along the lonely road to the spot where he'd dumped the body. She suspected he was resentful of having to provide proof that he'd actually killed a woman. Angela knew that had she not gotten him drunk first, he would not have been as willing to brag about having killed people. She didn't think that he could be getting sober this soon, but it still concerned her. Angela was also well aware that her companion in her truck had a hair-trigger temper. To keep him content and thus committed, she had to tolerate his hand down inside the front of her shorts as she drove. Having implied she would welcome such treatment from the right kind of man, she knew that if she was too insistent about rejecting his groping at this point, it could easily make him angry enough to simply decide to add her to his kill tally. She needed him to think of her as sort of a co-conspirator, impressed with his daring so that he would willingly show her the body, or else it might never be found. So, she did what she had learned to do as a young girl, when she had no choice about what was happening to her. She let her mind slip away to another place. It didn't matter what was happening to her. She wasn't there. She was gone, her body absently driving on through the drizzly night. 31 miles up the narrow secondary road, Owen pulled his hand out from the front of her shorts and yelled for her to slow down, bringing her back from that faraway place.
There!
He called out, as he leaned in front of her to point to the left, just before they reached an old steel girder bridge over a more frequently used two-lane road that went to the small village of Bradley.
"This is it. Turn in here."
Angela slowed to a stop. She hit the wiper stalk again to clear the windshield as she squinted into the dark. The bridge surface ahead of them was rain-slick wooden planks. Limbs, heavy with wet leaves, leaned in over the road.
"Are you sure this is the place?" She pulled up the short zipper on her shorts. "I don't see any road."
"I never said it was a fucking road,"
Owen growled.
"It's just a place where people pull over to turn around or something. Just pull in here."
Angela turned into a gap in the glistening green tangle of brush and trees. It was indeed a turnoff. She was concerned that it might be muddy. She definitely did not want to get her truck bogged down out in the middle of nowhere on a seldom used old road with a killer who could easily get unpleasant ideas. By the way, grasses had overgrown the barely detectable ruts. It appeared that the turnoff hadn't been used for years. Fortunately, it wasn't muddy. There was a weight limit on the narrow old one-lane bridge over the highway, so it might have simply been a place where heavy trucks could turn around if they had to, or perhaps it was once an old fire road. The turnoff only went in 50 or 60 feet before she had to stop, because saplings had grown in, blocking the way forward. Even so, with the way it hooked a little to the right, they were easily far enough in that the trees would conceal them from any passing car, especially at night. That was undoubtedly why Owen had picked this spot to rape and murder Carrie Stratton. Owen opened his door.
"We have to walk the rest of the way."
Before she could get her gun out of the center console, he leaned back in.
"What the fuck are you waiting for?"
"Nothing," she said as she opened her door and got out. "How far is it?" Owen lifted his arm to point through the moonlit fog.
"Back that way. Come on, I'll show you."
As they walked into an area of deciduous saplings, Angela could see a small stream to the right down a slight embankment. Some distance away beyond the stream and the trees was the highway that went under the bridge. Back in the expanse of these woods, it was possible that Carrie's body would never be discovered. It wouldn't be the first body to vanish in these mountains, never to be seen again, or the last. It was a lonely, miserable place to die, especially the way Carrie had died.
"You'd better not be bullshitting me,"
Angela said to keep his mind on the task of proof, as she followed him farther back into woods that grew dense and thick. She didn't want his mind to wander and get other ideas. The thick boughs of fir trees would muffle the distant sound of any cars going under the bridge and on up the road, so they certainly would have muffled Carrie's screams. If things went sideways, no one would ever hear Angela's screams either. The moon was out, giving the damp, low-lying blanket of fog a faint glow. It wasn't much, but it was enough to see by as she made her way through a stand of oak. Owen stumbled over rocks here and there. Despite being drunk, he knew precisely where his prize lay, and he was eager to show it to her. Angela had lost sight of her truck back in the fog beyond the trees and thick patches of brush. She counted her strides to mark the distance. The farther in they went, the more the forest had grown in to obscure any trace of the old road. Owen wound his way down a deer path, through brush, and then along ground thick with fallen leaves between maple and birch trees, avoiding the thicker tangles of brush and denser groves of fir trees. Leaves and needles dripped big drops of water they had combed from the fog. The wet aroma of the woods would have been pleasant, if not for the reason she was there. Angela began to hear the stream burbling among rocks. Moss, spongy under her boots, carpeted the ground in low spots. Water oozed up with every step on the beds of moss. She grew ever more concerned by how far back into the woods Owen was leading her. "Bad things happen in the woods," she murmured, not realizing she had said it out loud. Owen grinned his agreement back over his shoulder, then pointed.
Just over there.
Not far from the stream, Angela finally spotted the corpse. Owen led her right over to the naked body. It lay on its side, one arm cast out. Angela saw a small pile of bloody blue scrubs not far away. In her mind's eye, Angela saw again what she had seen when Owen had first walked into the bar and looked into her eyes. She saw Carrie, trembling, bleeding, and begging for her life as Owen ordered her to take off the scrubs. The true horror of her ordeal had only begun. In the warm, wet conditions, the body had already begun to decompose. There were places on the soft belly of the corpse where animals, likely ravens, had torn open the flesh to feast on what was within. Maggots writhed in the open wounds. The smell drove Angela back a step.
See? I told you,
Owen said, sounding irritated that he'd had to go to all this trouble to prove it to her. Besides the wounds inflicted after death by animals, there were gaping cuts in Carrie's chest and neck that had been inflicted by a human animal. The sight and condition of the body confirmed for Angela the details of what she had seen the first instant she had looked into Owen's eyes. Death had been slow in coming, as Owen became ever more intoxicated with the brutality of what he was doing. Owen liked his victims to be alive so that he could dominate them, terrify them, hurt them. Carrie had fulfilled his sickest desires. Angela held her breath and put a hand over her mouth and nose before squatting down beside the body to confirm one last detail of the vision she got from Owen's eyes. As expected, there was a delicate gold chain hanging from between Carrie's lips, part of it dangling down to coil in the mud by her cheek. The fine gold chain held a small locket with the photos of her two children. Owen had forced her to swallow it after she had shown him the photos of her two kids in the locket, one in each half, to prove to him that she had children who needed her. She had mistakenly believed it would make her worthy of sympathy. Owen had forced her to swallow the locket to show her he had none. When he pounded his big fists into her gut as she lay on her back on the rocky ground, she had vomited it back up into her mouth. Angela rose up beside Owen as he gestured to the body.
There's your fucking proof, just like I told you.
She couldn't even remember how many times growing up when that could easily have been the way she ended up. Okay. I believe you. Let's get back. As she walked beside him, looking over at the size of him in the hazy moonlight, she was all too aware that she was alone out in the middle of nowhere with a monster. A monster who had already killed four women for the thrill of it. They had fought for their lives. They had been no match for him. Not only did he weigh probably twice what Angela did, but much of that weight was muscle. She felt like she was balancing on a tightrope as she walked beside him. At the same time, it was a glorious rush of emotion. As her pickup came into sight, Angela was acutely conscious of where her gun was. She often carried a gun inside the waistband at the small of her back, but dressed in shorts and a cropped top, she had no practical way to hide a gun on her, to say nothing of it being illegal to carry a concealed weapon, so she'd left it in the truck. She knew that to get to it now, she would have to get into the truck before he did. That was only one more detail swirling in the storm of things already thundering around her mind.
You seen the body,
Owen said as they walked toward the pickup.
Now it's time for me to take it the way you like it.
I don't want to do it in the mud, she told him in an assertive tone. He didn't like her tone. Not one bit. The switch flipped. In a heartbeat, he snatched a handful of her hair in his big fist and pulled her from her feet.
I don't really give a fuck what you want, you little cocksucker,
he growled through gritted teeth.
Now I get what I want.
6. Angela clamped onto Owen's wrist with both hands, lest he pull her hair out by